Manx Radio Sport.
Good evening and welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. I'm Rob Pritchard and we'll be with you for the next half hour to take a look at the sporting action coming up on Ireland. So coming up on tonight's programme. It's the final weekend of the 24-25 Manx football season. We'll be previewing the finals of both the Hospital Cup and Masters FA Cup. With just over a week to go until the 2025 Alavan TT races, we at Manx Radio have been catching up with some of the stars, reigning senior TT champion Davy Todd, outright lap record holder Peter Hickman, Dean Harrison, Manx sidecar TT champions Ryan and Callum Crowe as well. That's all to come this evening. Welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. Rob Pritchard with you here for the next half hour, taking a look through the sporting action on Ireland this weekend. And of course, just over a week to go until the 2025 Isle of Man TT races. We've been catching up recently with some of the stars set to grace the Snaefell Mountain course on the racing fortnight in less than just over, I should say, 1 week's time. Before we get to all that, though, we're going to be turning our attention to football because it is the final weekend of the 24-25 Isle of Man football season and the second and third of three finals this week taking place this weekend. So to go through it with us, as always, is our football correspondent, Tony Meppham. Tony, good evening. Another lovely evening as well ahead of the weekend, isn't it?
Lovely evening, and every time we meet up on a Friday, you're getting a little bit more tanned and I'm getting a little bit more tanned.
It's a dubious term.
Keep it as it is, but I'm glad football's not being played too much at the moment because them pitches are pretty hard out there, Rob, but fair play. We'll have the good weather maybe in another month's time when we want the grass seed to grow, but it's all sort of coming to a closure now. TT comes in and then the hard work starts on the pitch.
And just quickly before we take a look at not just this weekend, but this week just gone, footballing-wise, we've had a couple of games elsewhere. Now that we are right towards the end of the season, I think I can safely ask this question. How pleased have you and the FA been with how smoothly the schedule has gone compared to, say, the last two seasons that's had some heavy disruption at times?
It has, Rob, but to be honest with you, here we are into the last week. We're supposed to be wrapping up the programme tomorrow, but we've still got two games left to play after that. So some of the clubs have been involved heavily, Braddon, obviously, Ramsey as well, which has caused one or two sort of headaches. But we've got through it, and yeah, we're chuffed to bits because everyone now is sort of getting ready. Football clubs rely, I think there's 13 clubs on having their pitches available for TT, and all that work is getting sorted out now. But yeah, it's been a good season. I'm sure we'll cap on that later on, and everything's gone well.
Indeed. Well, this weekend, of course, we've got two more finals to come. The Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup final on Saturday and the Masters FA Cup final on Sunday. But one trophy was decided in midweek as well. And congratulations to Braddon. A season treble for them. Quite the season for Braddon so far. So not content, clearly, with winning Ardern and Drugan Limited Division 2 back in late March and also winning the GH Corlett Woods Cup on Easter weekend. They've now gone and claimed the Paul Henry Gold Cup for 2025 after a 4-1 victory over Douglas High School Old Boys on Wednesday evening at the bowl. And Tony, it seemed like a very assured performance from Braddon.
Yeah, it was, and I think Braddon went into it quite confident because they'd already got the two trophies in the bag, and the league is the big one that they wanted to get promoted. But Douglas High School All Boys went in confident because they've got promoted alongside Braddon. But when you've got sort of people that can score goals, and Michael Hutton started it off early on for Braddon to give them the 1-0 lead, and then no Braddon score sheet is sort of the right sheet to read if Liam Kane's not there. So he got a goal, and then an own goal. I felt so sorry for Alex Ringham because the ball just came over, he couldn't get out of it out of the way, and it touched him and went in. But that was three, but they pulled one back, and Jacob Stones, who started off on the bench in the first half, second half he did two or three really good things to pull them back, and it was unfortunately a slip of sort of things pushing forward, and defensively Old Boys had switched off a little bit, and that allowed Duncan Reid, man of the match, to come through and score the fourth. Martin King for Douglas High School All Boys, their captain, he had a good header, hit the post, but it was Braddon that won, and I don't think Old Boys had any arguments over that. It was well supported in glorious weather conditions, and that's three out of three for Braddon, and congratulations to them, and they can sort of put the boots away now, get in preparation, I'm sure, in another 6 weeks or so to sort of see how they can go in the Cannon Life Premier League.
Indeed, and it's not all doom and gloom for Douglas High School All Boys, it must be said. Yes, cup final defeat, but they'll be joining Braddon in the Canada Lifemen's Premier League next season. They've secured promotion in second place in Division 2. Well, turning to this weekend then, well, the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup final, 2 o'clock kickoff tomorrow with the ball in Douglas, and it is a repeat of the 2024 final as Ramsey take on Laxey. Ramsey 2-1 winners in this final 12 months ago as well. How do you see this one working out, Tony?
I've got to go just, I think, a little bit with Ramsey at the moment. I think the inclusion of Charlie Higgins has certainly helped things sort of up front. He's a great player and can motivate the players around him, even though he's only young himself. He's got great experience because he's been a top player for quite a while now. And, you know, it's great to see that he's been able to sort of play with his friends, because that's one thing that they've been missing out on, is one or two players, Ramsey, to make them stronger, because they're playing for FC Isle of Man. But when you look at other people around, Ollie Grice, you've also got in there Alfie Scott, Dylan Pickles as well is in there. So they've got a forward line to fear big time. But then sort of Laxey, you just look at the squad that they've got, and if everyone was available, then they'd be probably slight favourites. But I know there's still one or two missing, and Johnny Palmer will have to tinker with his team. But people like Tom Kenny, Tom Cowan, you know, all those sort of people around there, they've got a lot of sort of ability. And they can mix it big time with Ramsey. And I think it's going to be a close game. But I'll just go on current form at the moment. Anthony Cooper and Andy Perry's team are going to be a little bit too strong, I think, for Laxey.
Yeah, just looking at the table there, there's only 3 points separating them in the league this season, but Ramsey winning on both occasions, both at the Ballaclone, a 3-2 victory, and then a 5-1 at Glen Road. Like you say, Laxey, a lot of squad rotation throughout the season as well. So what would be the best combination for Laxey, do you think, to take on this Ramsey side?
Well, if Charlie Robinson and Eric Hill can score the goals for them, Ethan Hawley just plays offside them, then that can cause a few problems. Jack Keelan, I think it is. I was impressed with him when I've seen him play for Laxey. But Johnny's astute. He'll have his team well organised. But it's just sort of dealing with players like Charlie Higgins and others to contain them from getting the goal-scoring chances that they'll be looking to create. And it'll just be on the day as well. It'll be a right old battle. As you've just given the stats there, they're pretty equal. But I just think that with Charlie Higgins coming in, they've just got a little bit more of a cutting edge now, Ramsey have. But it's been proved wrong before. And good game last year. And let's just hope that everyone sort of enjoys the sun, enjoys the weather. Please remember that no alcohol is allowed in the stadium. We just had a bit of a slip up last week. One or two people brought it in. You can't have that. And obviously you can leave it behind and we'll give it you back after the game. But please don't bring any alcohol into the stadium.
Yes, thank you for that advice there, Tony. So just a message there for supporters. No alcohol allowed in the Bowl Stadium this weekend. Well, that's the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup final. 2 o'clock kickoff on Saturday at the Bowl in Douglas. But we do have another final as well, and that's coming on Sunday, also at the Bowl. And that's going to see the Masters FA Cup final taking place between Onchan and Ayr United.
Yeah, look at the league tables of the Masters League. It paints a picture, doesn't it? Because both teams finished on the same points. But unfortunately, goal differences give it to Onchan. I know Colby are absolutely gutted over that one. But they'll be looking to see if they can take the result away from Onchan. I know that one or two sort of players are missing for Onchan, and you know, that's a shame. David Priestley will be one. He's not available because of injury, and I just wonder if they can sort of replace him, because he's good in that midfield. But players that they've got available, Stephen Priestley's one. When you look at you know, right the way through the squad, they're strong. But you know, Colby have got a strong squad as well, so it's going to be pit the wits. You know, it's no extra time in it, it's straight into penalties if the game hasn't been decided after 70 minutes. So they'll be challenging both teams, and they're both capable of winning it. I don't think there's really a favourite. The league table says that one. But, you know, when you look at goal scorings, Kieran McNulty and Steve Priestley, I just think that might be the edge for Onchan.
Very well, Tony. Thank you very much indeed.
Manx Radio Sport.
Well, with this being the final Friday Sport preview before the 2025 Isle of Man TT races, it feels fitting that we dive into the racing world tonight ahead of the racing fortnight getting underway in just over a week's time. Well, recently we've been catching up with some of the top riders as they prepare to take on the Snaefell Mountain Course for what promises to be another incredible spectacle of racing. And it feels a good place to start this evening with the reigning senior TT champion Davy Todd, who took two victories in 2024 in a breakthrough season on the island for the Saltburn Man. A big change this year is seeing he and fellow TT competitor Peter Hickman racing for and co-owning the new 810 racing team, which will make its mountain course bow this year. Well, I asked Davey about their ambitions in 2025 and how it's been setting up the new squad in such a short space of time.
Yeah, certainly hectic's definitely the word. It's been a crazy couple of months getting everything prepared and ready. Fortunately, me and Peter have had a fantastic group of guys behind us, a fantastic group of people involved with the 810 racing team. Putting everything together has been a rushed experience, certainly, but we're making sure we want to do things right. Working with Pete has been is a really cool experience, to be fair. We were friends already and only become better friends since this happening, so it's great to be partnered with a guy like Pete.
Of course, you and Pete are now co-owners of the team as well. So how are you going to balance this year, not just going out there and racing, trying to get results, but also being co-owners, managing all the logistics around it?
Yeah, it's a really exciting thing. Honestly, the team won't take any managing. You know, all the guys, all the people that we have involved with 810 Racing, they all know what they're doing, they know the job, and we're going to approach it in a different way. We want it to be enjoyable for everybody, not just us, the riders.
And after last summer, of course, with the Milwaukee BMW team, you won the senior race, you won the Superstock race, and even on the Ducati as well, a couple of podiums in the 600s as well. So I suppose the question would be, you know, why did the change feel necessary, I guess?
There was just a lot of reasons. When things are going good, you always have a lot of offers on the table of different things that you can do. And one of my main priorities that my people stayed the same, and my people have stayed the same on the most part. I wanted to stay on a BMW. After having my first success on a BMW, I certainly wanted to stay with BMW. The brand had been good to me, and I loved the bikes. I loved the machinery.
For 810 Racing, what are the ambitions and wants from TT this year?
Oh, certainly for the TT, the ambitions for both me and Pete is to win. We understand that we both can't win at the same time, but if one of us doesn't win, we were definitely rooting for the other one to win. So the goals are to be 1-2 in all the races, and if we can do that, it'll be a great success. We've both shown that we can do that. I showed that I can win last year, and Pete's shown that he can do that on multiple occasions. So I think we're both in a really good place right now, maybe better than we've ever been.
Finally, for you personally as well, you had the senior and Superstock wins last year. Of course, the senior, the real coveted one. Every TT win's good, but everyone wants to win the senior. Along with ambitions in those two races, are there any others in particular that would stand out to you if you were able to get a win in them?
Honestly, any TT win at all is special. I want to win all of the TT races. You know, I can't say that I'm going into any race thinking that one's more important than the other, but yeah, senior TT is, you can't beat a senior. Senior and Superbike are the big ones. You want to win the big bike races more than anything. I think for me, not necessarily all riders, but the big bike races are the toughest ones. Superstock next, Supersport, Super Twin, I guess, but you want to win them all. And they're all super important. I'm back with the Padgett's team on the smaller bikes, on the 600cc bike and the lightweight, the Super Twin bike. We've got some great bikes for those classes as well. And yeah, as I say, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't coming to the TT in 25 to challenge for wins in every class.
Manx Radio Sport. Reigning senior TT champion Davey Todd there. Well, elsewhere, one of those once again expected to be competing for honours at the sharp end is Honda Racing UK rider Dean Harrison. The now Ireland resident enjoyed a strong campaign at the Northwest 200 in Northern Ireland last week with 5 podium finishes. Well, Harrison recently told Manx Radio what position he is in now compared to his Honda TT debut 12 months ago.
I think we did really well with the issues that we had, let's say, prior to the TT and through the TT. I think we made the best of everything we had available to us at the time. And I think this year, being a little bit more prepared, it'll just make everyone's life a little bit easier and make the results come a bit easier.
Slightly slimmed down team as well. It's yourself and John this time. Nathan's obviously running a Honda satellite team as well, so he does still have some Honda support, but slightly away from that as well. Does that mean more resources can be focused on the likes of yourself and John for this year?
I think we all had the same bike last year, to be honest. It was just last year, with the bike being new, And then parts taking a little, when a new bike comes out, obviously it takes a bit of a while for the parts supply network to have them all together, sort of thing. It were mainly that side of things. It's if anything were available, they would have given us it.
And just a little bit on island life as well, since you moved here as well. How are you finding the logistics around it? Because you've effectively got an extra leg to do whenever you go to the UK and beyond. So have you managed to adapt to the way that island life throws those things at you?
Yeah, no, exactly. It's summer, obviously, I knew you sort of pre-plan a little bit before you come here, but you know, honestly, I can't thank the Steam Packet Company enough. They've been so helpful and they've helped me this year with travelling to and from the races and things like that. So yeah, I think it's fantastic that people are getting involved and helping me and making my life a little bit easier. Really, so I'd say massive thanks to them, really.
Back to the TT last year, obviously you were involved in that manic superbike race that happened. You ended up finishing second behind Pete. You had a great dice on that last lap, both of you. But up until that point, the likes of Davey and Michael were a little further out in front. How do you, I suppose, try and reach the same levels that the likes of Davey and Michael were hitting before they hit the problems? How has Honda kind of got to that same level? Or is it at that same level?
We've definitely worked hard through winter. The bikes have made a step through winter. And like I say, we need to get into the racing side of things. Then you can sort of have a real judge of how far you are away or if you're there and thereabouts, sort of thing.
Outside of the TT in the Northwest, what plans have you got?
This year, obviously, Northwest TT. I will be back at the Southern. Not 100% sure what bike's on yet, but I'll be there in some way, shape or form. And then we are doing the full season of the British Supersport Championship at the BSB.
And in terms of the TT landscape, how much do you think it's changed in the last few years? Because in times gone by, for example, 20, 30, 40 years ago, it would have been majority pure road racers, privateers coming in, the likes of yourselves with the BSB experience. There seem to be more of those coming through. How much has it changed over the years, do you think?
I think it's just what races are on, because there's not as much road racing as there used to be. There used to be much more of it, but obviously in recent years, I think it's insurance problems. There's not a lot of it happening, so you have to race where you can race, don't you?
And just finally as well, a bit of an obvious question really, but where do you see yourself competing most at TT this year?
Do you know what? I think we'll be strong in all classes. The Supersport, I think, may be one of my strongest. I'm riding that bike weekend in, weekend out, and I've sort of understand it quite a lot more, but I felt good in the superbike in testing. It felt, like I say, compared to last year, we're quite a lot different, which is positives. The bike's a little bit faster, so a bit more reliability now, which is nice. So I feel good on a few of the bikes, to be honest, and the stock bike's always going to keep getting better and better and better.
Manx Radio Sport. Honda Racing UK rider and now, of course, Ireland resident Dean Harrison there. 5 podiums at the Northwest 200 last week. What can he potentially conjure at the TT this year? We'll have to wait and see. Well, now, a 14-time TT winner, I should say. Peter Hickman also remains the fastest man ever around the Snaefell Mountain course. He and David Todd are on a new venture in 2025, co-owning 810 Racing. On the squad's road racing debut in Northern Ireland last week, the duo managed 2 victories and a further 4 podiums between them. Well, Hickman's no stranger to running his own team at the TT, and indeed, outside of the big bike races, he'll be back once more this year with his PHR performance crew among his commitments. Well, after success in recent years with previous employers, FHO Racing, he told me why he thinks this new chapter is the right way forward and also the wider challenges of coordinating an entire squad these days.
Things just change, don't they? You know, all good things have to come to an end at some point. I've had a fantastic 4 years with the FHO Racing team. It was time to make a change and we made a change. So probably the most common misconception is people think we were forced to change when actually it was our decision to change. So it wasn't necessarily our choice to make our own team. That wasn't actually the plan, but decided not to stay with FHO. That was the first thing. And then we've ended up creating our own team. That's something that's just ended up happening over a coffee, really, to be quite honest. It was what decision are we going to make? How are we going to move forwards with my career? How's Davey going to move forwards with his career? And what does the team and the personnel want to do? And then 810 Racing was formed. I've ran my own team and I've ran my own bikes at the TT for the last couple of years, but not a super bike, not a big bike. So it's going to be a new thing for me as well. I'm really looking forward to it.
You both co-own this team and set it up. You've got your own PHR team as well. How difficult is it in today's environment with rising costs in everything we do? Motorsport is not a cheap sport in itself. How difficult is it these days to set up a team?
Yeah, it's expensive, that's for sure. You know, me and Davey have put our hands in our own pockets to get this thing going. And that's probably another thing that people don't realise. They think someone else is paying for it all, which they're not. So yeah, it's tough. It is tough. But it's also something that I wanted to do. It's something Davey wanted to do. The PHR is something else that I want to do personally. Obviously, I run that as a business as well with PHR Performance, which is available for anybody to use. Track day riders, racing riders. In fact, we do engines for quite a few different people, including the Crow Brothers sidecar engines. We built them last year, which obviously they ended up winning both the sidecar races and went through the speed trap 5 mile an hour faster than any sidecar ever, which is pretty pretty nice accolade for our firm. But yeah, it's I'm quite a driven person, really. I always want to try and strive to be better and to keep moving forwards.
Now we'll turn to the racing side of things. Obviously, so much focus will be on the thousands, obviously with 810 racing, but that's, once again, that is not going to be the only class you're going to be racing in this year.
No, I have, with my PHR performance team, I'm running the Trooper Triumphs ST765, the Street Triple 765 RSs again. We had a tough year actually on that bike last year, but we've made some real good improvements with that bike, and like I said, finished fourth the Daytona this year. Really already quite comfortable on that bike, really happy with it. And we've also got the Swan Super Twin, which I rode last year and finished on the podium with it a couple of times. We obviously need a little bit better than second place, but we've been working really hard behind the scenes with that bike as well to improve it and to find some more speed out of it. Proof's in the pudding, we'll find out.
Indeed, and in terms of the racing itself, again, you'd probably like me to remind you that you drew level with Mike Aylward last year as well after what was a manic superbike race, but given the pace, particularly in the big bike classes that we saw from the likes of Davey and Michael before they hit mechanical issues in that superbike race as well, how they were competing across the board as well, how tough is it going to be to try and keep pace with some of those guys who are very much up there with you these days?
Yeah, I mean, the pace just keeps getting faster, doesn't it? More and more people are coming through, the boys are getting faster and faster, it's getting harder and harder, it never gets any easier, unfortunately. But no, it's good, you know. I think the competition's actually really healthy at the minute, and I think the rivalry is also really healthy as well. None of us want it easy. We all want to win, but we don't want to win easy. We want to, you know, you need to earn it. You know, in this place at the Isleman TT, you definitely earn it.
Manx Radio Sport.
14-time TT winner and TT outright lap record holder Peter Hickman there. Well, rounding things off tonight, we're going to go from two wheels to three, and I think it's fair to say one sidecar crew in particular won the hearts of spectators and proud Ireland residents alike in 2024. Well, after a meteoric rise in racing in the last few years, Jerby brothers Ryan and Callum Crowe fulfilled their dreams to take not one, but their first two sidecar TT wins last year. Furthermore, they joined an exclusive club by becoming only the third sidecar crew to lap the mountain course at over 120 miles an hour. When I sat down recently with Ryan and Callum, I asked how, after such a successful 2024, they can now take things to another level.
There's always a million things you can build on. We have worked quite hard this year to develop it even further than we did last year. There's been a lot of technical changes, and yeah, just in general, there's been massive changes. All have been progress, everything's worked well, everything's worked how we want it to work, so yeah, you know, fingers crossed everything pulls together and it's even more of a missile than it was last year.
Callum, when I spoke to you both this time last year, one thing that you both pointed out was that you felt that you were really ahead of schedule, and that might have contributed to how well you did last year. Everything was falling into place much quicker, so how does that compare this year in terms of just getting everything prepared in general?
Yeah, we're ahead of schedule, that's good. All the engines are done, we're pretty much there.
And Ryan, one thing you pointed out a while back as well as that you're both targeting British Championship as well. So how are you both juggling the road commitments and British Championship commitments?
So our commitments have been the TT first. We haven't done a round of the British yet. We won't do the first round of the British. It doesn't really come into play with us, sort of thing, but as soon as TT's out of the way, we'll be full hit, full send into the British Championship then.
And I suppose a bit off the first question, Callum, you both joined the 120 mile an hour club last year as well. It's a, you know, coveted place to be. So, but how do you go further? Because no doubt those in behind you are going to want to catch you.
Yeah, it all depends. I mean, there's been a few setbacks as well with engine-wise. They've banned the 7-speed gearboxes. Whether that affects any speeds, I'm not too sure. Yeah, I can see the other teams coming strongly this year, which might push the speeds up, but if not, if we need to be chasing the 120, then we will be, but if we don't, we're not going to try and break lap records. That's not what we come here for. We just come to race the bike and get on that top step.
Ryan, on the changes, obviously Callum's just mentioned the gearbox side of things as well. There's been a couple of changes in terms of how the order's going to be worked out. I mean, you'll still be just going out to do what you do, but are these changes, what do you make of the changes that they've made to the sidecar class generally this year?
It doesn't really faze me, to be fair. It's one of them. People, they say they're going to play tactics and this, that and the other, but in my eyes, you haven't got the time to be playing with tactics. You need to go out there and ride as hard as you can and learn as much as you can with the week you've got, because like you say, if you go out playing tactics and you're riding slower than you can do, and then it rains for the rest of the week, you haven't got the practice you need to, have you? So I can let you all know now that we won't be playing any tactics. It'll be straight out of the bat and as fast as we can go, as safe as we can go too, though.
And Callum, looking at the rest of the orders, a few more newcomers coming in, both drivers and passengers as well. How encouraging is it that we're still getting that stream of newcomers into sidecar racing at the TT?
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic, and I'm sure these boys will perform well. They're all high quality riders and passengers, and you know, I'm sure there's a few more world champions that would like to come here, which I think we might see next year as well. So the grid's only getting stronger, so it's great for our sport and great for the Armand TT. So fingers crossed it keeps growing.
And Ryan, just on a more general note about sidecar racing, not just the roads but also the circuits as well, we see every so often people wondering about, you know, what the future is for sidecar racing. We've seen certain championships or certain meetings maybe getting lower numbers at times, people wondering why that's happening. How important is it that the likes of the TT do well, just to showcase sidecar racing continually, to keep the interest in there?
It's massive. You know, I think if the TT didn't run sidecars, there wouldn't be any F2 sidecars there, like, racing anymore, if you know what I mean. There might be the odd club meeting and stuff, but I know for a fact if the TT said, oh, that's it now, no more F2 sidecars at the TT, mine would be for sale and it'd be gone and I wouldn't have one again. I like the long bikes, I like racing them, but it's one of them. If somebody said to me, you can either race the TT for 2 weeks of the year or do the British Championship on a long bike all year, I'd sell all my long bikes and I'd go TT.
Defending sidecar TT champions Jerby brothers Ryan and Callum Crowe, we wish them and indeed all these sidecar crews the best of luck at this year's races. Well, just to wrap things up, going to bring Tony Meppen back in very quickly. I know we were talking football before, but of course you play a little bit of a role in the TT experience for some visitors, don't you?
Yeah, we certainly do, because we've got camping up at our football pitch, just like another 12 clubs as well. And Rob, we put a service on. We make sure that the people that come over have a great time, make it as comfortable as we can with them camping. But it's so, so important for our sport to have the sort of camping, because the bills now are colossal. And with 13 clubs involved, it's always nice to have a little part in the TT.
Excellent. Well, Tony, thank you very much. We'll be catching up with you in the not too distant future, I'm sure. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. This is the last show before the Isle of Man TT. We'll be back in a few weeks' time. Have yourself a wonderful Friday evening and a wonderful weekend as well. But from us, until next time, it is bye for now.
Manx Radio Sport.